Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here with us for the first Sunday of 2019. I want to start with a picture of me that Vernon, who's here with us today, took of me yesterday up on the roof of my house, taking down the Christmas lights. And if you can't see me, that's because I'm wearing camouflage overalls there. So. it's kind of ironic. I just show you that because today the message is all about light. And please, would you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. It may be the shortest prayer you'll ever hear from a pastor. It's straight out of the Bible, and I always try to pray that before I teach, because this is different. It's not like standing up on TV and lying about the weather. This is important. And today is January 6th, a date that is celebrated by the church at large around the world as something called Epiphany. And the term Epiphany comes from a Greek word which means appearance or manifestation. And here in Western Christianity, Epiphany usually celebrates the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles through the coming of the wise men. By the way, there weren't three of them, or there were many of them. But they, though not Jewish, they were Gentiles, outsiders, came from afar to see and worship the child Jesus as King of the Jews, and that's described in Matthew 2:1. In Eastern Christianity, Epiphany normally celebrates the baptism of Jesus, which we believe happened when he was 30, as recognition of his manifestation to all of humanity as the Son of God. You know the story. Scripture tells us of the epiphany that John the Baptist had. He saw the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove and settling on him. And then John heard this amazing voice from the heavens saying, "This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me great joy." Now, if you go to a modern day dictionary, it'll describe epiphany as a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality of or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple or commonplace occurrence or experience. An epiphany is a clear revelation that brings sudden insight and understanding to us. It's as if a light is suddenly turned on and we see the answer, the meaning of something. It's an "I get it" moment. The wise men followed this bright light, this star, over many dark nights, over great distances, probably through great danger. They had studied the ancient scriptures, and it had to be mysterious, and we're not told, but I bet they were completely surprised that the child was not found in a castle, but in a barnyard. Yet when they saw him, they knew. They got it. John the Baptist followed the directions given him by the Lord that were clear but must have seemed terribly incomplete. Yet he waited patiently, not knowing who he was preaching to about to all of these people. Somebody's coming. We know through Scripture that Jesus was John's second cousin. Their mothers were cousins. So most likely they'd met numerous times before, but it wasn't until the moment Jesus appeared at the Jordan River and told John that he had come to be baptized that John had his epiphany. He actually said, "No, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus insisted because that's what the scriptures had foretold of. And then when John physically witnessed the Holy Spirit settling on Jesus and heard that voice from God, he saw the light, and it was exactly as had been predicted about 700 years earlier in the book of Isaiah. We start this morning in Isaiah 42:1. "Look at my servant whom I strengthen. He's my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice. in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. And if you want to look it up, Matthew 12:18 in Scripture teaches that Jesus fulfills this prophecy of Isaiah 42. Now, in the next few verses, Isaiah speaks to the power and creativity of God and to why he sent Jesus to earth. Verse 5, God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. In that verse, he is speaking directly to Jesus. You see, up to this point, mankind had just heard about or read about the righteousness of God. Jesus came to demonstrate it, to show us how to do it. Isaiah 42, 6 says, I will take you by the hand and guard you. I will give you to my people, Israel. Again, he's speaking to Jesus as a symbol of my covenant with them, and you will be a light to guide the nations. Notice he mentioned Israel as a nation, but expands it to the nations, all of the world, with that phrase. So Jesus was a gift of light sent by God to guide us through the darkness because mankind needed to clearly see the way that God had laid out for us. Isaiah 42, 7 says, you will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. And to me, it's amazing how many dungeons are not physical. Most of us have never spent a single night in jail and lockup, but many of us have spent most of our lives, I should say, much of our lives in self-imposed darkness, locked down in the world, handcuffed to our habits, our behaviors, our sins that keep us in darkness. We need the light of Jesus. We always have, because the world was from the very beginning a very dark place. And we were basically being held captive in it by our nature of fear and sin. And today's message is about the guiding light that can bring us each through the darkest of night. There's a special insert in your bulletin. It's printed on a little bit heavier paper stock, so you hopefully can take it home with you and keep it handy all year. It has what I pray will be encouraging scriptures about light, and there's one that I've designated for each month of the year. And I hope that you'll tape it to a place where you're going to see it every morning. Maybe your mirror, so you get it at morning and at night. Or maybe you stick it and use it as a bookmark in your Bible. Use it as inspiration of study starters. These scriptures are short. I encourage you to read the scriptures around them. Maybe you use one of those magnets and you stick it to your refrigerator. Then each time you open the door, you'll see the light and you go, oh yeah, there's the scriptures about light right on the other side here. Maybe I'll read them and check it out. We start in January, of course, with the message that light is good. And it's easy to find this when it's the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Now, the type of light described here is physical light. But this verse also holds tremendous spiritual significance because throughout Scripture, the terms light and darkness are used to differentiate between good and evil. In the book of John, we're told that this light from God not only gave life to every living thing, but that this light was also freely available and incredibly powerful. That takes us to our February scripture, the light brings life in John 1, 4, and 5. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's important. Keep that in your mind. So God sent Jesus to us as a light so that spiritually we could distinguish between day and night, between good and evil. Our next scripture explains that Jesus was sent to be the light, and that he came so we could see the light to find our way out of darkness. Your March scripture is John 8:12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Now, Satan, or the evil one, obviously hasn't read that verse or doesn't believe it, because he never stops trying to turn off the light, does he? Think about what happens. If you go find that scripture where John was baptizing Jesus, immediately after, what happens? Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Then we know later, Christ was crucified. The church was vilified and persecuted terribly. Christians were eaten alive by lions in auditoriums as entertainment. They were boiled in oil. Hundreds of years later, when the Bible finally came into existence, they were soon banned and then burned. Back in the ancient times, Christians were dipped in tar and used to light the emperor's garden at night. And it's inaccurate to just speak of these things in the past tense, because things like that still happen today. Google Christianity Today or Premier Christian Radio when you get home to find details of the 34 Ethiopian Christians whose bodies were found shot and decapitated just back on December 23rd in Libya, just a few months after the discovery of another mass grave in a different country of 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians. The Chinese have started a massive new persecution of the Christian church there in the past 18 months, closing down churches, arresting people left and right. Read a story just 2-3 days ago about a group of Hindus who beat and bloodied Christians in India the other day at their church. Christianity has been persecuted and outlawed again and again all over the earth, but we are still here, and we have a job, which is to shine bright in the light of this dark world. Now, even though we've escaped most persecution in this country so far, believe me, it's coming soon. The signs are big and bold, and I see them every day. And we need to be ready for that, but we can't be afraid. Being a Christian can make us vulnerable, and it can be very frightening. So for the April scripture, I want to read to you from a recent morning inspiration. And the morning inspiration is a little devotional that I write Monday through Friday that hopefully gets you into the scripture and makes you start thinking about God first thing in your day. This one comes from John 12:35, and it shows that trusting the light makes us children of God. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. I went on to write, this world is filled with dangerous traps, and a simple misstep that seems harmless can plunge us into the darkness of things like addiction, pornography, treachery, even murder. Jesus is our light, always available to guide us so we can clearly see the way. As we learn to trust and follow his lead, we become children of the light who are able to help others find their way through the darkness. Now, by the way, that morning inspiration is posted most Mondays through Fridays on our New Covenant Facebook page, or you can sign up at the Welcome Center after service if you want to drop us your email. We can email you directly with that. Today, more than ever before, the world is filled with those who need the light of Jesus. So it's critically important that we're never afraid to display the light of Jesus, whatever we do, wherever we go. You ever be out in public at a big restaurant and, oh, I'm embarrassed to pray over my food? I'll do it at home. I don't know if I have the courage to do it in front of these strangers. So for May, we quote Jesus in Matthew 5:13. And for this one, if we can, instead of putting up the scripture, I want to show you a photograph. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hold your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." I'll never forget on my one trip to Israel, driving back with our group from the Dead Sea just as it was getting dark and looking up towards Jerusalem, kind of up on the hill, up on that cliff. And that's a shot of the holy city. It's not the one I took, but it's an example. And I want you to use this picture in your mind to let every beautiful light you see remind you of the scripture. Shine bright for Jesus in all you say and do. Share your time and your treasure with great joy. Let others know why you are helping the hurting and the needy so that all the glory goes to God. Pray, Lord, let my light of faith shine bright in this world that seems as dark as night. Now, I need to make a little side note here without getting sidetracked. I have personally been criticized for talking about some ministry things that I have done for others, or that the Beds for Kids ministry that I founded and direct has done for others, or that ministries from this church have done out in the community. Someone close to me that I know well told me it was unbecoming of a pastor to post on social media about what our ministries were doing. And that stung. It kind of hurt. But the Bible teaches that we have to keep ourselves open to criticism, that if we're wise and that if we can see that it's meant well, we need to ask ourselves if there's even a hint of truth to criticism or accusations made towards us. Because Jesus did teach about doing our good deeds in quiet, not letting our left hand know what our right hand was doing. Was he contradicting himself? Well, shine bright, but be quiet about it. No, I believe it's called dynamic tension. That's a term we use to explain two concepts in Scripture pulling against each other to support and hold each other up in the middle, a balance. I have come to have no problem posting on social media or announcing to you things like the fact that Beds for Kids has now placed 5,800 needy people in beds free of charge, because I gladly give God every ounce of the glory. And I have no clue how this happened or why God even brought this ministry to me. It was not my idea. Or how he provides dozens of volunteers every single week who joyfully give of their free time to make this happen. Or how he puts out the $60,000 a year it takes to keep the doors open, even with all volunteers and no salaries, plus the other $60,000 a year that we use to buy beds. But Jesus is amazing, and I give him every ounce of the credit. And I think that we are all called to let people know when we do things like this. In Romans, Paul said, I dare not boast except about what God has done through me. He also said, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. So the key to me is to clearly give God the glory, all the credit. Jesus said, let your light shine bright for all to see. So God gets all the glory, not you and not me. Now, I know of other Christian ministries who do beautiful and wonderful things, but never mention publicly God or Jesus. I know a lot of ministries that started as Christian ministries, but figured they could get money from other places if they just kind of cover up the God and Jesus part of it. And that breaks my heart. As if they're afraid to let the rest of the world know why they're doing the good things that the Lord has called them to do. And I would rather fall on the other side of that fence when it comes to Judgment Day. But you work it out on your own. Now back to the subject of light. We have to remember that the darker this world gets, and it's getting dark, the more effective and attractive our light will become. It can be a teeny tiny little light. Now even though at times it seems that evil is certain to win, we can't give in. We're promised in Scripture what will happen in the end. And we go to Revelation for your June scripture about light. Revelation 21:22. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Doesn't that sound amazing? It will be. And it's too good to keep to ourselves. Following Christ is about sharing everything that God has given us, our time, our treasure, our talent, and our truth. How many people do you associate with at work or school or in the community who still don't know the truth about Jesus? And we see it every day. The world is filled with people who think they're fine, but are very close to walking over the cliff of eternal death due to spiritual blindness. Our July scripture comes from 2 Corinthians and tells us that believers or unbelievers can't see the light because they refuse to open their eyes. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So as we get out into the world, at our children's school, the sporting events, the different things we all are involved in, we have to always remember that we were always on duty as ambassadors for Christ. And that for some people who maybe had a bad experience with church or are afraid they're too far gone to ever be forgiven by Jesus, that was me for 20 years, or who are so in love with their current lifestyle and choices that they don't think they ever want to see or hear a word about Jesus. Again, that was me. They may see his light shining through in you. You and me may be the only true light for Jesus they will ever see. August scripture reminds us that God's light shines in us. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, Steve, you say, I can't do that. I'm not a good enough Christian. I got mad at my spouse twice last week, and I cursed at a truck that cut me off in traffic on my way to church this morning. Come on. Jesus knows we're not perfect, but he offers to use us anyway. And the Bible's filled with imperfect, sin-filled lives, people who God saw fit to use in order to draw others to his light because they were willing to be obedient to his word and just do their best. Last week, Pastor Rich filled in and he used Moses and his speech impediment to make this same point. Liars, cheaters, murderers, adulterers, prostitutes, even those who ran and hid like all the apostles did when Jesus was arrested and crucified, are all an important part of our family, the fabric that weaves us all together in the warm blanket of our faith in God known as Christianity. Look up here on the stage today, would you? If he can use an idiot like me, he can and will use anybody. And I say that with all honesty and humility. Anybody willing to humble themselves in obedience and service and say, use me, Jesus. And then when the assignment comes and it's not all that lovely sounding, still say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Our September scripture reminds us that the light of Jesus overcomes our weakness because we're all so weak. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our power is from God, not from ourselves. Paul goes on to remind us that we're pressed on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed. We're puzzled, but not driven to despair. We're hunted, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Paul never let anything stop him from preaching the gospel. He was chased out of city after city by angry mobs, shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, bitten by a viper, thrown in jail time after time. But the only thing that really hurt him was how easily the Christians he had personally taught the truth and founding their churches were led astray by false teachers who twisted Holy Scripture into lies. And that brings us to our October scripture, reminding us that not all that shines bright is from God's light. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul started by expressing his fear that believers would be deceived and that their faith corrupted by those who would divide and misguide the church. And it happened. 11:13 teaches these people were false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The same thing's happening today. Always has, always will. Those who call themselves Christians, some even use the name of Jesus in what they call their church. They claim new ideas, better understanding, mysterious revelations in the modern day that defy what has been written by God's Holy Spirit in scriptures that have survived against all odds for thousands of years. It's as if Satan realized that he's never going to be able to fully get rid of the Bible, so now he encourages those who misuse it and twist his words to fit their own twisted definitions of what our modern day world should be like. And underline the part that says even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Think of Las Vegas, Nevada, or a bug zapper. You're the bug. Boy, that looks good. The truth of God's light produces what is right. Your November scripture is Ephesians 5:1. We're told to imitate God in all we do because we're his children, that we should live a life filled with love and follow the examples of Christ, that there can be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed, that there's no place for those things in God's people, that obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes aren't for us. Instead, we should be filled with thankfulness to God. And again, we are warned, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on those who disobey him. Don't participate in these things. These people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. He says it's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. And this is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You know, as sinful human beings, we all struggle with darkness in many different forms. Our own selfishness, indifference, lack of concern for the poor, the needy, those who don't yet know Jesus, the things that we just want because we want it, because we want it our way. Our December verse reminds us that leaving our darkness behind allows God's light to shine in us and through us. And it's Luke 11:35. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Now, the New King James corrects that. I like to teach from the New Living Translation, which is a modern translation. You probably realize that floodlights didn't exist when Jesus was there, so I'm sure that this wasn't the exact wording. The New King James says, "The whole body will be full of light as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." In other words, you will be a floodlight for the Lord. Now, as much as I hope that this message has fired you up about being a living, breathing, shining Christmas light display, the 16 or 18 hours that you're awake every day, I have to remind us all that we can't be lights for long if we don't stay plugged in. Jesus alone is our power source. That's why it's important to be here at church, to read the Bible daily, to listen to teachings on the radio, to get involved in the small groups and the Bible studies. Now, since electricity hadn't yet been discovered, Jesus taught about this connectivity But he used a different example to explain the importance of staying connected. And it comes from John 15:4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain connected. Put in the word light for fruit, and it'll work for you. I'm sure if he were here today, he'd talk about our mobile devices and the cords that don't work too well for some reason or not, to let us know that we have to plug in on a regular basis every day to be a light. Now, I can see it. Somebody here is saying, but I don't know how to be a light, Pastor. I'm afraid. I have so much darkness, or I struggle with doubt and depression. And I know that because those things are all in me. That's where these 12 scriptures will shine bright in your darkest night. Read them over and over. Burn them into your heart. Pray them out loud as a prayer to the Lord. There's one for each month of the year. But there are many, many more really great scriptures about the light of God. Do a word search. Read the surrounding scriptures with these verses so that you get the full context and more insight into God's great light. Because while reading the scriptures are great and very powerful, they're incomplete if we don't apply them. Application is the key. We have to seek out the lost, the lonely, the sick, the dying, those of other faiths. And we need to be bright and cheerful to them. We need to smile at them. We need to listen to them. Less of the finger in the face and more of our ear up against what they want us to hear. We need to eat with them as Jesus did. Not to act holier than thou like we know it all. We know the truth. But if we come across harshly, it's going to chase them away. All we need to do is reflect the light of Jesus. Let them see him working in you. Think Jesus out loud as a simple part of your conversation. Allow the word to hear his name. Oh, God has been so good to me. Jesus did an amazing thing in my life yesterday. It's so easy to share that way and so simple without sounding preachy. Determined to make this the year that you begin to truly shine for Jesus. Be like the wise men. Seek his light. Make the effort to come closer to him than you have ever been. They were far away. It was a treacherous journey, but I know they were glad they did it. Be like John the Baptist. Tell everybody else about him, even if you don't yet understand everything there is to know. Recognize his presence when he works in your life. Ask Jesus for your own personal epiphany so that you can see the light, so that you, through your connection with Jesus, can be the light. Look for opportunities to serve. It's a great way to start. Little things. We have a thing once a month, Juntos, where we send groups from New Covenant out to work with underprivileged kids in the East Central neighborhood. Once a month, we send a group down to Noonday to serve a meal and to sing and to teach God's word and to just talk and mix in with the homeless community there. There's mentoring, coaching, small groups, Bible studies, big brothers, big sisters, community organizations. I want to bring up a photo to close with. It was taken by a friend of mine. He's a professional photojournalist. I worked with him for many, many years. And he's retired now and has his own business. This is a picture of the Milky Way over Chaco Canyon in northern New Mexico. And it shows millions and millions of bright lights. Each one of those is a star or a planet. And this is just a small part of our galaxy, which we're told is just one of many, many galaxies that is this ever-expanding expanse. Scripture tells us God knows the name of every single star and calls them. Also tells us that he knows each and every one of you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows your doubts, your fears, your concerns. He knows your strength and your weakness, and he knows that he has a plan for you. He wants you to shine bright in the night like his nature does when we get out away from civilization and take a good look. Please bow your head, close your eyes, and join me in prayer as we close. Great and mighty God, shine your light on my life. Lord, help me to reflect your light onto others. Give me so much light that I can't contain it inside myself, that I have to share it wherever I go, whatever I do. God, light up my life through the dark periods when there's a death to someone I love, when I lose a job, when I'm broke, when I'm sick, when I'm afraid, when I'm angry, when I'm hurt, when I seem like the only one who cares. Lord, let me look at my own personal darkness. Help me to melt away the sinful behaviors by making sure that I search in every corner of my soul for darkness. And I ask you, allow you, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, to come in and take it away. Lord, we pray for your brightness. We pray for your guidance. And as we open our eyes and see the darkness of this room, we notice how our eyes are drawn to these small little lights, each one teaming up with the others to illuminate something in a way that is beautiful and attractive. And this is what we want you to do with us each and every day in the year to come. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.